Had he lived, Jabez would have been a helpless cripple, unable even to crawl. Had he lived. Christy stood panting. Her eyes were half closed, and she was swaying on her bare, blood-smeared feet. She glanced down at the naked, broken, unconscious man, lying crookedly on the gray stones of the bedroom floor. If any of Christy's friends had seen her at that moment, they would have backed away from her in horror. She touched Jabez with a toe, and he jerked away from her. Jabez's eyes flickered open. She could see the pulse that fluttered unevenly in his throat, just beneath the ear. As she stared at him, the muty power of her mind stripped him to the soul. She saw the stunted evil core of Jabez's being, where pleasure came only through pain and the suffering of others. Jabez caught her stirred, head rolling to one side. A thin trickle of bile tinted with blood drooled from his open mouth. Christy lashed out with her heel, hitting the heir to the Villa Front Royal at the base of the nose. The power of the kick jammed the shards of bone high into the soft spaces of the skull, driving them into his brain. Ryan heard nothing of Christie's fury from where he lay in his own room, watching the light fade away. He'd heard the clattering of hooves on the cobbles in the morning and the excited yapping of the hounds. A bowl of gruel and some crusts of dry bread had been his only meal, given to him so cautiously that he'd lapped at it like an animal. He knew nothing of the disastrous and farcical entry of Doc Tanner and Lori Quint into the Ville, and he knew nothing at all of the visit of Jabez Pendragon Cotter to Christy Roth. The sec man hadn't bothered to leave Ryan any lamps lit in his prison room. Despite the discomfort of his binding and the imminence of his departure from life, Ryan still managed some sleep, dozing until the links of the chain around his neck jerked him awake. But something else had disturbed him. He lay still, eye open, straining to listen. In the blackness, Ryan could make out a narrow strip of golden light shining in the middle of the shelves, where he knew the secret door was hidden. A figure moved against the thin rectangle of pale yellow, then the door closed, and the chamber was in total blackness. Ryan tried to wriggle into a position where he might at least try a kick at whoever had entered the chamber.
Come on. Come on, you bastard. Come on!
His hearing was better than most, and he strained to listen to the pounding stillness. Bare feet moved with an infinite caution on the cold, dusty stones of the room. And the ragged breathing sounded like that of a man at the farthest edge of exhaustion, only a knife blade from collapse. The steps hesitated again, then stopped about 5 paces from him.
Ryan?
The touch of a moth's feathery wing brushed at his hearing. Christie's voice, seeming to come from a great distance, from somewhere in the depths of the Ville.
Lover? What is it?
The power of the Earth Mother came to me. Was as though Gaia herself took possession.
What is it? What happened? Fireblast. If only I was free, I could... Christy, tell me what's happened. Tell me.
She came closer, and he finally felt her hand on his arm.
Ryan. Oh, but I've killed Jabez Cotter.
Since he already anticipated death within the next few hours, Ryan wasn't too shaken by her words. The murder of his brother's only child didn't make a whole lot of difference. The traitor used to say that a man can only get himself chilled once.
How? No, make that why.
Came in to rape me. He was the most evil, evil bastard I ever met, Ryan. So I took him. Wasted him.
Oh, he had it coming, lover. If you didn't chill him, I would have.
Then she broke down, lying across him, hanging on as if she were drowning, her tears wetting his clothes. The girl's whole body was shaken by sobbing. Despite being bound and helpless, Ryan tried to comfort his woman, muttering softly and kissing the side of her neck. He could feel that her long, sentient hair was coiled tightly at the back of her head in a defensive bundle.
Tell me about it.
She fought for self-control, sitting back on her heels, trying to steady her breathing.
Chilled him, but that isn't all. The power was worse than I ever knew.
How do you mean, worse?
When she next spoke, her voice was so quiet that Ryan could barely hear it. But he eventually made out what she was saying. And the flesh crawled on his nape. She hadn't just killed the young man. she'd slipped into a blind frenzy and ripped his body apart. Ryan tried to speak and found that his voice had gone, choked in a fearful dryness. He'd seen Christy use her power before and witnessed the awesome strength at such times, but to rend a corpse limb from limb...
Don't ever get angry with me, lover.
He felt her relax a little, the hair loosening at her neck.
I'll try not to, Ryan. If we live that long. What do we do now?
Nobody outside in the passage heard?
No. I'm good at it, lover.
I know. Are there bars on your window?
Some. You can lean out, but I doubt you could escape that way.
They fear magic in the Shens. Always talk of shamans and wizards. I know that Harvey was always terrified of such things. He could sink the body in the moat and say you fell into a deep sleep and babble about demons and spirits possessing Jabez. The door's locked?
Yes, on the inside. And there's some old shrouds and some chunks of iron in a chest. I could weight the bits.
Do it. At least it might take the blame away from you. Who knows, lover? Can you do it? You're not too weak.
I can try. By Gaia, what I want most is to sleep for a month. With you, Ryan.
Don't forget the story. He came in and was babbling some sort of shit that sounded bad. You blacked out, and when you came around, Jabez was gone. Just a lot of blood on the floor.
I'll try, lover. Will Harvey and his bitch wife fall for it?
If they don't, things can't be worse for us. And if they do, who knows, Christy? Who knows?
Harvey Cotter looked like a man in the last stages of some dreadful ague. His whole body quivered and shook, his chins flapping from side to side like enormous dewlaps. His face was as pale as parchment, and a thread of spittle trailed from one corner of his thick lips. Sweat glistened on his pallid forehead and trickled over the pudgy acres of his cheeks.
Just blood?
It was about the 20th time he'd repeated the question since Ryan and his three friends had been dragged from their rooms just after dawn and hustled into the main hall of the mansion. Harvey sat in his wide-armed oak chair, wearing a loose cloak of aquamarine lined with sleek black fur. His straggly hair was uncombed, and his fingers were ringless. Rachel sat next to him, face blank, hollowed eyes locked into Ryan's single good eye. Her fingers played with a silver catch on her scuffed leather purse. She wore a black robe with a tiny gold star cluster brooch on her breast. Rachel had said nothing since the news of the bizarre disappearance of her only child.
Only blood? How can that be? How can a grown man vanish and leave just a lake of dried blood?
He raised demons, Baron Cotter.
Christy had recovered something of her normal strength, but she was still pale and shifted nervously from foot to foot, as though she feared she might fall.
You told us that. The door was locked from within, the window barred so that no human could leave. No body floats in the moat. I cannot... Can't... She's a witch, that flame-haired, gaudy whore! Killed my little boy, butchered him, and made his body disappear like fucking smoke!
Harvey looked at the sergeant of the Sekhmen, who stood at the side of Ryan Cotter.
The chimney in the room, was it searched?
There wasn't a chimney in that room, Lord.
Baron Cotter fell silent. Ryan looked around him, his memory conjuring up long-dead faces and times, mostly not worth remembering. Banquets with a whole pig being roasted on a spit by a red-faced lad, jugs of beer being hefted by muscular women from the kitchens of the vill, the unforgettable taste of overripe venison with sweet potatoes and crimson berries, music floating down from the gallery that ran around three sides of the vaulted room. Jack Lauren was on the end of the row, his white hair tangled and greasy, his red eyes darting around the room. He caught Ryan's glance and flashed him a lightning grin. J.B. Dick stood next to him, arms folded across his chest, pale face turned incuriously toward the Baron and his woman. Despite the passive appearance, Ryan knew from long experience that the brain of the Armorer would be racing, calculating angles and odds, looking for a chance. Half a chance. Anything. Ryan had been doing the same. Ever since his true identity had been revealed, he'd known that death stood a heartbeat away for all of them. A bloated assassin like Harvey would not blink at spilling more blood. And in the entire world, There was nobody he wanted chilled more than Ryan. But now the four friends were helpless, unarmed, and overwhelmingly outnumbered by the army of Sekhmen that patrolled Front Royal. The butchering of Jabez had been a tiny entry on the credit side of their account, but their own debiting came ever closer.
What is it, man? Speak up!
The old man and the girl.
Harvey Carter stared blankly at the Sec officer.
What?
The old man and the young girl, my lord. She has yellow hair, he's kind
of... I know who you mean, you fucking double stoop. What of them?
The man shuffled his feet and looked down, his hand going to his bruised and swollen jaw. The expression on his face said clearly that he wished they'd never started the conversation.
He broke one of my teeth, pretended he was a real doc. We got him and the girl in the guard cells.
What is this to do with the wizardry and deviltry that took my son from me? Are you saying they're witches as well? Shall we burn them?
No, I don't mean... what shall we do with them?
Flog them and turn them out of the ville for all I care.
Ryan's brother picked irritably at the chipped blue varnish that decorated his chewed nails. Rachel Carter leaned forward in her seat, eyes staring above and beyond Ryan's head.
They could be traitors and friends to these four.
I don't think so, m'lady. The oldster's barely three bullets in a blaster, and the girl's a near dummy. I say we just flog him out of the ville.
Harvey shifted his enormous bulk and glowered at his sec officer.
You say that, do you, Sergeant? I've got a mind to flog you. Cut your ears off, slice the lids from your eyes, peel off those fucking lips. What then? I've heard the girl is pretty, Sergeant. What do you say to that, man?
Yes, she is. I'm sorry, Lord, that I was...
Oh, shut up!
Ryan glanced at the line of grim-faced guards, each of whom carried his M16 at port arms. The windows were flung open, letting in the clean morning air. Harvey Carter levered himself to his feet.
I think it was some black magic that took my son. We've heard how he came to question a prisoner, and she, or someone, raised a devil who lifted my dear Jabez to the realms eternal.
Ryan's hands were still cuffed behind him. Christy, sensing that the word of doom was coming, took a half step forward to be beside him and rested her hand on his arm. JB stood at ease, the dawn's light glinting off his spectacles, his fedora pushed back off his forehead.
Let's get on with this!
Rachel gritted her teeth. It was obvious to Ryan that she was craving a line or two of the white elixir of life. Once Jolt had the noose around your soul, it pulled it tighter and tighter until you finally snapped.
Wait, bitch. I'm thinking... Hunt. Hunt. You always like the thrill of the hunt.